35 this afternoon. This morning we were looking at the coming tribulation period, and a lot of people say, well, how do you know it's actually going to come? Well, as Dave Hunt often said, you can go to every other religion in the world and they do not have prophecy. You go to the Bible and it speaks prophetically about all kinds of things. And everything that has been spoken of prophetically that has happened exactly as it said it was going to happen in the past, not only in the manner it happened, but to the time that it happened. The passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at this afternoon, many Bible scholars, especially those that are of a liberal bent, said, well, Daniel had to have been written by somebody that lived after Daniel and lived at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, because how could they have known the detail that Daniel gives in his book? Well, the reason that Daniel could know the detail is because God revealed it to him. And God knows the beginning from the end. God knows about you. He knows about your strengths. He knows about your weaknesses. He desires to work in your life in a manner that would enable you to overcome that which gives Satan strongholds and help you to walk in obedience to the Lord. And he knows the time that he placed you on the earth, and he placed you here for a specific purpose. And part of that purpose was to bring honor and glory to him and to touch people's lives. And one of the things that you can know is that God is real. He does know the beginning from the end, and he knows all about us. And that's a great comfort. Because there are people in this world that continually want to attack and assail those who would say they believe in God because it's fairy tales and God doesn't exist. God does exist. He's real. And this afternoon we're going to see reasons why we know he exists. Let's begin at chapter 11, verse 21. And his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come to peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now, I just want to pause here. We're speaking of the kingdom of the Seleucids, which is the northern kingdom. And remember, the kingdom of Alexander the Great was divided into four parts. It was four generals. One was Greece and Macedonia. Another one was the lands that were just fairly close to Greece and Macedonia. And those two kingdoms really did not have much influence in the world and didn't really impact the land of Israel very much. However, the other two generals, one was the Ptolemies and the other was the family called the Seleucids. The Seleucids had the northern kingdom, the kingdom that was it ended up being at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, Syria, the Iranian plateau, some of the land of Israel and the Holy Land, as well as what today would be Lebanon and that area. That was their kingdom. And the other one, the Ptolemies, they had Egypt and some of the places along northern Africa. These were the two strong kingdoms. They're also the ones that really were dealing with the land of Israel continually, as they were constantly fighting with each other. We looked at that last Sunday afternoon. These kingdoms were constantly at war, and when they weren't at war, they were involved in great intrigue and trying to seduce one another and get all kinds of agreements. It was almost like the patent place of politics at that time. And we see that this is exactly what's happening now. It says that there was a man that raised up, and this man didn't have much of a kingdom. When Antiochus Epiphanes came to power, he didn't really have much land nor much power. However, he did not take and gain land by strength or by going to war. Instead, what Antiochus Epiphanes did is exactly what Daniel was told he would do. His estate shall stand up a vile person, and he was extremely vile. He was more vile than any of the other leaders. to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. In other words, they didn't want him to be the leader of the northern kingdom, but he made arrangements, and he did that through flattery and obtaining the kingdom through agreements and signing agreements with the other leaders. And this is exactly what Antiochus Epiphanes did. Now, one of the things that we're going to see later on, next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the Antichrist. You're going to see there's a lot of distinctions and similarities between Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist. Not only in their hatred of God and their hatred of God's people, but also in the way they do things. Antiochus Epiphanes was a flatterer. He was a sly man. He was a man who could get you to sign a deal, even when you didn't necessarily want the deal, but he would talk you into it. And he did this because he didn't have the military might to strike out, especially against the Ptolemies and those that possessed greater armies than he did. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And so we see here that he was going to overtake his enemies and those that would stand against him. The prince of the covenant would be the covenant that they're speaking of here is the covenant that God has with Israel. And he would overtake Israel. And he would do that in amazing fashion. And one of the ways that he did it was appeal to them through flattery and trying to say, you really need to become like Greeks. You really should be like us. That is where you're going to gain wisdom. That is where you're going to gain... It really sounds like the lie from the Garden of Eden that we've been studying in Genesis, where Satan came and says, God wants to prevent you from knowing good and evil, and that's why he doesn't want you to eat from that tree. Antiochus Epiphanes came and said, well, you know, the real way of life is the Greek way of life. Antiochus Epiphanes introduced Greek thought and introduced Greek culture into the land of Israel. And he appealed to some of the leaders within the land of Israel that they would become Greek in their orientation and Greek in their perspective. The thing with Greek and Roman thought is it's of the world. It's not of God. They had the truth. But instead of holding on to the truth, they listened to this man, Antiochus Epiphanes, and incorporated Greek lifestyles and beliefs into their culture. What that did is, number one, it brought God's anger against Israel. And secondly, it also opened up a means by which the people in Israel could be tempted not to believe in the truth of God's word, nor believe in the God of the Bible, but trust in Antiochus Epiphanes and other men like him. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong from a small people. In other words, he's going to start very small, but yet through deceit and through lies, he will gain strength and overcome those that are in the land. And specifically, remember, Daniel is talking about those that are of the land. The land would be Israel, and those that would be the people of the covenant, which would be the Jewish people. And Antiochus Epiphanes, through deceit, overcame them and did not defeat them through military might. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil, riches, yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Now, what is he speaking of there? What his fathers and fathers' fathers hadn't done? Well, if you go back in the history of the Greek armor. You'll see that when they conquered a land, they didn't take and give all the wealth that was conquered back to the people. They took it for themselves and dispersed it amongst their soldiers and didn't give it to the people they conquered. Antiochus Epiphanes, one of the things he did was through deceit, he told them, I'm going to give you part of the spoil. You know, as you look at what's happening in communism and the socialism, and it's happening again in our culture today, one of the things you see is this is a common lie. They come and they say, we've got the power. We've got the control. We control all the wealth of the land, and we're going to give it back to you, and you can share in the wealth. This is the exact same lie that the communists used in Russia, the exact same lie that the communists used in Czechoslovakia. There's a book that speaks of what happened in Czechoslovakia when the communists took over. Did you know Czechoslovakia used to be a republic very similar to the United States? It had elected officials. It had a representative government. But what they did is the communists came in and they gained power. And what they did is they knew that they needed to be elected to positions of authority because they didn't want to go in and conquer the people through military might. Instead, they did the same thing that Antiochus Epiphanes is doing. They did it through deceit. They came and they said to people who were working on farms, you know that farmer that you work for, he's getting very wealthy. If you elect us to office, we'll take his farm from him and we'll give it to you. And so that you will own the land and you will be able to partake of the land. And they go to the people that were working in factories and they would tell them, you know, the man who owns that factory is getting very wealthy at your expense. Well, if you elect us to power, we'll take that factory from him and we'll give it to you. Well, they believed the lies and the deceit in Czechoslovakia. And they elected the communists into positions of authority and power. What they did is they came and, they took the land and they took the factories and they took all the private possessions, but they didn't give it to the people. Instead, they made the people their slaves and they were in worse shape than they were because when they were working for the farmer, he paid them. When they were working for the factory worker or factory owner, he paid them and he took care of them. The communists didn't do that. The leaders of the Communist Party were the ones in power and authority. They took all the wealth for themselves and instead of giving it like they had said and promised. This is the exact same tactic that Antiochus Epiphanes used. He went in and told the people of Israel, I will give you, if you help me conquer, I will give you the wealth of the land. And he'd go to other places, to Syria and other nations around there. If you help me conquer, help me take over, I will give you the wealth of the land. But he didn't. When the opportune time came, he lied and had been deceitful. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. And this is exactly what happened. And we know that when Antiochus Epiphanes had lied to these kingdoms and gained strength in the north, then he put together a strong army and he waged war against the king of the south. The king of the south became, that is the king of Egypt, became extremely angry and raised an army that was twice as big as Antiochus Epiphanes. But the problem was the king of the south didn't have a stomach for war, and he waged war against him, and it appeared that he should have been able to just totally wipe him out. However, he didn't. And it's exactly like it says here, that it happened. He stirred up the battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand. He didn't stand against him. And if you go and see exactly what happened historically, the king of Egypt, after he began to win the first battle, he decided, well, I'd rather live in peace and prosperity and just go back to Egypt and do my own thing instead of be at war. And that's exactly what he did. And he figured Antiochus Epiphanes will just leave me alone because I've come against him. I won the first battle, and he's not going to bother me anymore. That was a fatal mistake on the part of the Ptolemy king, as Antiochus Epiphanes was not done with him. And the king went back to Egypt, and it's exactly what Daniel said. He didn't stand. He didn't choose to stand and take his position, but instead withdrew back to the land. And this is extreme. You got to remember, this was written hundreds of years before these events occurred. That's what's amazing. The detail in this, the specific detail, it's amazing. Yea, verse 26, yea, that they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. In other words, they that eat of his meat, that would be those of his own household, were going to destroy the king of Egypt, and that's exactly what happened. They ended up destroying him and took over, just as Daniel said. Verse 27, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. And what they did is they were constantly trying to make truces, and they would constantly go in and say that they were going to do these agreements, and they'd be lying to one another with the whole intent of deception and to undermine and destroy the other kingdom. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what Daniel said would happen. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. This is speaking again of Antiochus Epiphanes. After he had defeated the southern kingdom of Egypt, he took great wealth from there, and he returned with great wealth. Also with the great wealth came tremendous pride. He viewed that he had done this through his own cunning, through his own devices, and he hated the God of the Bible. Even though he had been deceitful to the people of the covenant and told them lies, and that if they just became Greeks in their thought, that would be the solution to everything. Really, what he wanted to do was destroy them and destroy everything that they stood for. Because really, this man was motivated by Satan and driven by Satan. Just as the Antichrist will be that's coming, this man was. It's amazing that Satan has always had his man, because Satan doesn't know the exact moment when God was going to call the church home. He doesn't know when the rapture is going to occur. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, only the Father knows. Those of you who saw the video before the wrath, remember that the picture of the rapture is based on the Jewish wedding, and the father is the one that determines when the son can go and get his bride. And he tells him, now's the time. And it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the night or the middle of the day, that's the time. And the son has been waiting with anticipation for this to happen because he wants his bride in his home. And we see that that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen the last time. Well, the Bible says that only the Father knows the day and the hour. Satan doesn't know the day or the hour. So he's always had men that he has inspired to walk in ungodliness and wickedness that possess the spirit of the Antichrist. You can look at some of the people down through the ages. There's been Genghis Khan. There has been Mao Zedong. There has been Adolf Hitler. There have been many, many others that possess this spirit. Antiochus Epiphanes was one of these. Guess what? They all hate God. They all hate the things of God. If you look at who are the people that Hitler persecuted and sought to put to death, they were the Christians and they were the Jews, were two of the main groups of people that he came against. Joseph Stalin, who were the groups of people that Joseph Stalin came against? The Christians and the Jews. Why should they hate the Christians and the Jews? because they're inspired by Satan, and Satan hates that which God loves. And so he inspires them to hate Christians and Jews. And Antiochus Epiphanes was no different. He hated the Jewish people. He hated everything they stood for. He hated the God of the Jews. He hated the whole, everything that the Jewish religion, the covenant, pointed to was the coming Messiah. Now, why would Satan have this inordinate hatred of the people, the Jewish people? Well, if you look at everything that's surrounded with the first coming of Christ, was the Jews. Jesus came as part of, he had been promised to come through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He came through the line of David, all Jewish people. And it was foretold that he would come to the day and the hour he would show up. And we know that Satan hates that. And he also knows that there's coming a day where Jesus is going to return. Do the fallen angels know that their day of doom is coming? The answer is yes. Scripture tells us this. You can go and look at Jesus when he went to the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea and discovered the man who was possessed by a legion of demons. And when he confronted the demons and was going to cast them out of the man, they said, "Are you here to cast us into the pit before our time?" They understood that they had a day coming where they would be cast into the bottomless pit. They also have a day coming where they should be cast into the lake of fire. That day of judgment awaits. But they knew that it shouldn't be quite yet. And so they asked Jesus that question. And then they asked, "Can you cast us into the swine?" And so he cast them into the swine, and then they caused the herd of swine to run over the cliff and fall into the Mediterranean. Now, it also shows the destructiveness of demons. But if you look at what Antiochus Epiphanes was doing, he was no different. He knew that his time was limited, and as Satan was inspiring him, Satan also knew that the people that were going to stand up against him were going to be the Jewish people ultimately, and that God was going to work through the Jewish people. Now, in the last days, the second coming of Christ, that is also going to be predicated upon the Jewish people. As God, the last week of Daniel that we're studying on Sunday mornings in Revelation, it's all dealing with bringing the Jews to acknowledge that Jesus is their Messiah. That's the whole purpose of the last week of the year, the seven-year tribulation period. And so we see that Antiochus Epiphanes hated the Jewish people. "Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. He shall do exploits and return to his own land." His own land was Syria. "At the time appointed, he shall return." And where is he going to return to? The holy land, or the land of Israel. "And come toward the south, but it shall be as the former, or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved in return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them, but forsake the holy covenant." Now, what is that speaking of? The ships of Chittim and going to the south. Well, he decided that he was going to, the only thing he could do would be, he had conquered and gained the victory and the wealth of Egypt. The only thing that was left for him would have been to come against Rome. And they became concerned about him. The Romans became concerned about Antiochus Epiphanes. And so they sent ships out to make sure that they could control him and bring him under control. This made him extremely mad because he realized he could not defeat the Romans. So what he did at that time is he'd made promises and covenants with the Jewish people. Remember, if you just become Greeks in your thought, I'll leave you alone. Well, he went in and he came against the people of the covenant. And he did it with indignation because he viewed that it was because of them that he wasn't able to accomplish his purposes. And really, again, he's inspired by Satan. Verse 31, an arm shall not stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the domination that maketh desolate. Now, what is it speaking of there? At this time, the temple was in Jerusalem. They were making sacrifices on a daily basis. They were following the law. Antiochus Epiphanes came in and he changed everything. He says, what I am going to do is I'm going to make this a true Greek religion and not a religion that worships the God of the Jews. So he came in and some of the things that he did, one, he caused them where they were not to circumcise the young baby boys any longer. That was not to be done. If you were caught circumcising your young boy, the child could be put to death. I mean, he was a wicked man. Then what he did is he came in and he desecrated the temple. He changed the whole theme of the temple, made it a Greek theme. He brought in and changed the altar that was presented to make sacrifices to God, and he changed it to an altar was make sacrifices to Zeus. And he also made Zeus the main god of the temple of the Jews. And so he desecrated the temple. This is the same thing that's going to happen, and we'll see next week, under the Antichrist. He's going to do a lot of the same things that Antiochus Epiphanes did. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, who are the people that do know their God? They're the Maccabees. The Maccabees revolted against Antiochus Epiphanes. They had had enough. They were of the priestly lineage. And when he brought in Zeus, when he started to offer pigs to be offered in the temple, and pigs were unclean, and you can read what God says are clean and unclean animals. Pigs are unclean animals. So you're offering unclean animals that God said were not to be offered, and they're offering those in the temple to Zeus, and they said, enough's enough. You're killing our children. You're doing all these things. And they rose up, and they did mighty exploits. They did come against him. They did stop a lot of these things from happening. And the Maccabean revolt against Antiochus Epiphanes occurred, just as Daniel said. Daniel would have no way of knowing, other than God revealing to him, that there was going to be a godly line of men that would rise up against this ungodly man. Yet Daniel did reveal this. And they that understood among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days. And that's what happened. The Jewish people, even though the Maccabean revolt did occur, and they brought semblance of worship back, ultimately it led to the destruction, even as it says here, of everything. And now when they shall fall, they shall be helping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And what Daniel is saying is, even though this has very much similarities to the last week of Daniel, it's not the last week of Daniel. He said, that's not the time of the end yet. Even though it's very similar, and the people are going to fall by flatteries just as they did here, that day is appointed yet to come. And we're going to be looking at that next week, that appointed day, when Daniel speaks of the Antichrist coming. This, a man of flattery, and a man that does the same thing as Antiochus Epiphanes. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you help us to understand this. Help us to realize that your word is true, and that you have revealed to us through your word, through the words of Daniel, things that you revealed to him that happened hundreds of years after you revealed them to him. And just as that happened during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, it'll happen again during the time of the Antichrist.
a time that we are approaching very quickly. Lord, help us to be prepared. Help us to realize that there's a day where you shall return and you shall establish your kingdom. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And that is hymn number 281.